Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce.
Fry Deuce. Fry Deuce. February 19th. What time is it?
10:16 Mountain West time, Joey.
Oh.
12:16
West Coast. Swerve a minute.
Yeah. Wow, it's not even a Fry Deuce yet for the West Coast.
What time is it in India? You have listeners in India.
I don't know. Maybe Indian in India, our Indian listeners can let us know.
No, we're not live. Right. Oh, man.
If somebody hit us up and was like, it was this exact time when I.
Yeah. Thursday night slate, three games. Not a big night of games, but some interesting games to talk about for sure. All-star starters came out today or Thursday. And the pretty funny quote that we're going to talk about at the end of the show. or interesting quote, I guess. I don't know how to say
it. Oh, it's pretty hilarious, yeah.
But Alex, I think, like, we know, we've talked about this maybe even on the show, but definitely off the show, how, like, when you do an independent podcast or a smaller podcast, part of the ability to grow is to have a social media presence that neither of us have. You're not on social media. I am, but I'm obviously... I got in it late in the game and, you know, I'm still trying to figure out building it up. I feel like I took a pretty big step in the process of becoming like a legitimate Twitterer, social mediaer today, because for the first time today, I got called a casual on Twitter.
Christian Wood, who called you casual?
No. Some dude with 100 followers, Fox Sports Florida or whoever, Fox Sports South or whatever it was that broadcast the Heat game, they made a graphic because Jimmy Butler had back-to-back triple doubles for the first time in Heat history, and he's one of five players with multiple triple doubles in the history of the franchise. And the graphic had LeBron, D-Wade, Jimmy Butler, Bam, and Hassan Whiteside. And I tweeted Hassan Whiteside, and I quote tweeted it with the graphic, and I just wrote, I feel like Hassan Whiteside being on this graphic really diminishes the importance of being on this graphic. And some random dude said, "You casual," shaking my head.
Wow. And then did you argue with him for the next two hours? Or
no, I thought about bite. I was about to be like, all right, I'll bite. Want to explain? But I didn't.
Didn't Hassan Whiteside like literally have a triple double with no assists? Like, you know, the Kanye line?
None of them were, they were all with blocks.
But I'm saying like he had zero assists.
Oh, probably. Listen, we'll talk about the Heat game here in a second. That game just ended. But look, 2 years ago, Hassan Whiteside was on the Heat. They traded him and then went to the finals. This offseason, Hassan Whiteside could not get a team to sign him. Now he's on the Kings, who have the worst defensive rating in NBA history. So just, I mean, that's all I got to say.
No, I think you're just a casual.
Honestly. Yeah, I'm kind of casual, but it's fine. I mean, what does that mean when they, like, I'm a casual fan? I'm kind of a casual fan because I'm less of a fan and more of an analyst at this point in my life.
I think it's like a casual NBA, like, follower.
I should have been like, hey, dude, avid. I should have been like, hey, check my profile. Yeah. Look at how many podcasts I host.
Yeah, that would have got him. He seems like a guy that would have his mind changed pretty quickly.
I wanted to do the thing that people do on Twitter now where they like go back to like they go back to in like people's tweet history and find one where they were like blatantly wrong and screenshot it and then just write this you. But I didn't give him that much time.
You probably deserve
partially that. Because I was busy watching the games that I was tweeting about. So, but hey, that's a start, man. Just got to get engagement, whether it's good or bad. Right. And I'll take a million people calling me a casual. I don't care. Just react.
Yeah.
And listen to the show too.
That's the big one. Yeah. That's what we need. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of listening to the show, thanks for everyone who is listening to the show. First week down. This is the end of our first week with Blue Wire. We're pumped to be part of Blue Wire Podcast. And obviously, it's a slow build because we had to change our feed. And a lot of people are still re-finding it. Old listeners are still finding it, I think. And it's going to take some time. We knew that. But for those of you who are listening, we appreciate it. Please go rate, subscribe, rate, and review because that helps always. But hey, we appreciate it. So let's talk about, there's one game still going on as we're recording this, and that's the Lakers and the Nets. It looks as though it's over, though. I was thinking that, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but at some point, I think he was in the first half. There was the Nets got a tech and LeBron shot the free throw and missed it.
I did. And Kyrie said something.
Kyrie said, that's your guy's best free throw shooter.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, now the Lakers are going to win. Because every time someone talks shit and the cameras catch it, then LeBron goes off. But the Nets are just in the zone right now. They're just in a different kind of zone. Like they're playing really good basketball and it's without Kevin Durant, which is incredible for them that they're doing this. But I mean, obviously, Lakers shorthanded without AD, and people are going to overreact to this game, I think. But I said to you before we started recording, any team that loses a top five player, it's going to take a minute to adjust to playing and also knowing that you're not going to be with him for a while. Like, it's going to take a minute. So I don't read too much into it other than it's more that it's just the way the Nets are playing right now is incredible for them.
Yeah. And Schroeder was out. Like their other, maybe their third best scorer was out, you know? So yeah, that's a great point. Very, very shorthanded tonight.
And I think Frank Vogel, even before the game, they said he was like caught off guard because Schroeder is obviously not even just one of their best offensive players. He's one of their better deep perimeter defenders too. Yeah. So to guarding Kyrie, that sort of changes things. I'm glad you brought up the Schroeder thing because I almost forgot about it. It's really interesting. This is the second time now with the Lakers that they've had a player be out because of health and safety protocols, and it just kind of gets swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember Caruso?
Yeah, Caruso was out for a while.
He was out for a while, and no one was talking about it. And now Schroeder's out, and they announced it, obviously, because he's out, and he's a starter. He's more important, technically, right, mm-hmm. to that team's overall bottom line. But I feel like it's not going to get talked about, and even if he takes I feel like maybe – on some level it's just because it's the Lakers and they don't want to make a big deal. And like the NBA, they're on national TV so much, like the NBA can't afford for LeBron to, especially with AD out, they can't afford for LeBron to have to sit because of health and safety and contact tracing.
That's true. Yeah. I also I just think different organizations are handling it differently with how tight-lipped they want to be. And like Jason Tatum, I don't think that it was ever disclosed by Boston that he had it, you know, it was just kind of assumed down the road. So different teams are saying like,
no, I don't think anyone's been disclosed. I don't remember anybody, them coming out and saying this person had COVID. We just are, like you said, we're just assuming based on how long they're out.
Well, Seth Curry, that was confirmed, right? I thought that was confirmed. Like, I thought a couple guys have been confirmed.
Oh, I feel like I haven't heard the Seth Curry one. You're right. But I feel like most of them I haven't heard. Like, remember we were trying to speculate if Jonas had it, Valanciunas?
Well, remember I was making that point a while ago about HIPAA laws. I actually ended up researching it a lot. They were doing it differently last year. Like, Christian Wood got pissed when that got out because they did disclose it before the bubble last year. And
who cares? Why would you be mad? It's just the flu. I mean, it's not just the flu. Sorry. That would offend a lot of people.
Well, this was,
it's a version of a flu. Like, it's not, I don't want to name any diseases because people will get offended by that too, but I'm just saying it's not like,
well, we know
it would be like if you missed the game for the flu and they were like, oh, he missed the game for the flu. You missed the game for COVID. It's not like, a scarlet letter to have COVID.
We know that now, but at the time when Christian Wood got pissed, it was not as clear like what we were dealing with. So I kind of understood that. But the point isn't,
it has been clear though. Okay, never mind. I mean, I get what you're saying, but hasn't it always kind of been clear like this, like the flu is a coronavirus. This is just an amped up version. It's not a scar, like it's not, I don't know.
I think there was some stigma like early on when it wasn't like when things were shutting down because of this. Well, I'm kind of on the side of like, hey, can we just not disclose shit that I don't want disclosed about my health? I don't know.
But that's fine. I totally understand that. I'm just trying to understand like, why do people not want that disclosed? If anything, that even back then they should have wanted it as public as possible because you don't want people coming around you if you have it. Like, it's safer to disclose as in a situation like this. In my opinion, disclosing information is the most important thing. Like, it doesn't pay to be secretive about people having an illness that's killing people, like that is super contagious and can kill people. You should be actually 10 times more open just for everybody's sake. Don't go around this person. Like, I understand the HIPAA laws and all that stuff, but come on. I mean,
I'm just saying I don't have a problem with Christian Wood being pissed that the media got a hold of this and, you know, before he was able to really like tell people himself and that sort of thing.
I guess. Don't
remember how we got on this, but
it's because of Schroeder.
Yeah, Schroeder.
He's a Schroeder. Yeah. Well, as far as this game goes, Brooklyn's up 105-185 with 3 minutes left. So this game's over. Like I said, this is the fifth win in a row for the Nets. And really, a pretty spread out game. Like, it wasn't like Harden or Kyrie went off. I will point out, Joe Harris is shooting above 50% from three this year now after this game. We've talked a few times on here about how the big three has sort of impacted his impact on the game, but really I don't think it has. He's just not scoring as much, but he is shooting. Like, he's having like a historic shooting year.
Mm-hmm. And probably because he's getting so many like just wide open looks, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's not a guy that's just a straight up catch and shoot guy. He can create a little tiny bit, I think, but when you've got three of the best scorers in the league, like that, he's just getting so many catch and shoot opportunities and he looks fantastic. This is one of the most under the radar great moves of the offseason was retaining Joe Harris. It's weird because he didn't change teams, but like making the decision to make sure they kept him was really huge for this team.
And I know I bring up the Heat a lot on this show, but the Heat also played tonight. And I think there's a lesson to be learned here that you don't do everything in your power to cater to Joe Harris's ability to succeed. You put the players around, you go out and you get the best players ever. And a guy like Joe Harris can thrive. And I say that because of the Duncan Robinson thing.
Yeah.
But they are playing. I mean, they're like the only team right now in the East playing good basketball. Like, everyone else is just, it's just not good. I mean, the Raptors are starting to play pretty good. We'll talk about them in a second, but they look right now, even without Kevin Durant and without a lot of depth, they look like the clear favorite right now in the East.
I would say so. Sixers aren't playing bad right now, but they're not as tough as they looked in the beginning of the year. I mean, Brooklyn's won four straight, two without Durant.
Well, five two. Straight. This game is five.
Oh, okay, yeah. And has it been two without Durant or three?
I don't know, but they also had that week where he was out because of COVID. And
they had a pretty solid discussion on the halftime show on TNT, like, is this a finals preview? And it all hinges on Anthony Davis' health, of course. But, like, I mean, I think pretty much everybody at this point will be shocked if Brooklyn doesn't at least go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So this very well could be a finals preview. I hope it is. You know what I'm thinking? I'd have to look it up, but I'm almost certain this would be the first time two leading scorers are going to face each other again in the finals, each on different teams. Like LeBron faced Durant in Miami and OKC. And now they're both on different teams.
Well, and also Cleveland and Golden State.
Oh my God. Wow. So it's three. They're going to face each other three different times on three different teams. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, doesn't that also sort of emphasize that these are two of the top players to ever play the game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, when you talk about like incredible rivalries, like Magic and Bird, they were always on the same teams, you know, and that's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. It's wild. It also, like, I've mentioned this before too, as far as KD is concerned, like if KD came along now, he would finish his career as arguably the best player ever. I think I think the fact that he's played so much of his career in LeBron's league is going to impact where he stands at the end of the day, because LeBron's LeBron, but KD would go down as the best scorer ever. He may still go down as the best pure scorer ever, but if LeBron wasn't in the league, I think we'd be talking about him as hands down the best player in the NBA for all these years.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And you would be talking about him as like a top five player to ever play the game. I don't think people will talk about him that way because, I mean, they also say like, oh, he left and went and played for the Warriors and all that stuff, you know, that thing. But I don't think he'll go down as well. I guess if he wins a title with Brooklyn, if he wins one or two more titles, then he'll be in the conversation. But
I think so. At number, like, yeah, you mean for top five player of all time, right? Yeah,
I mean, how could he not be? He's already a top 10 player ever to me, right? Yeah. I mean, I know that people have the ranking thing is dumb and the GOAT and all those conversations are kind of dumb because it's eras and this and that, but I don't know how you could just watch Kevin Durant and not think he's one of the top 10 players ever. I mean, if you really do love basketball, like, there are very few players there's very few players that are more fun to watch play basketball than Kevin Durant because of how incredibly skilled he is as a scorer. I mean, and that's all anybody wants, right? We just want to see high scoring games, really. I mean, I like seeing good defensive games, like defensive teams, but for the most part, the league has, as obviously all of the rules have transitioned toward making sure the games are as high scoring as possible. Mm-hmm. And he's the best one to do it. So, yeah, I'm not concerned about the Lakers though. I am concerned about the Lakers long-term with the AD thing, but this loss doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
Yeah.
Now a loss that does mean a lot that happened tonight, Milwaukee, my goodness. What degree are the burns on Mike Budenholzer's booty right now?
His keister is pretty chapped right now.
Yeah, he's feeling – I mean, he is feeling the heat down in his hole, not in his soul. they lost their fifth in a row. Then they got – I mean, there was never a point in this where this was even a game against the Raptors. They lost 110-96. They've lost five in a row now without Jrue Holiday. It is, again, I mean, we say this every game that they lose now, but it's unacceptable to lose five in a row just because Jrue Holiday's out. You still were the best team in the East for 2 years and have the back-to-back MVP and the defensive player of the year. You shouldn't be getting just beat down like this. And today in this game, more so than the other games that they lost, the body language, it's starting to have, like, the body language is starting to be a thing now with them. Like, yeah. I've seen this for many teams that I've been part of too, like worked for, but I've seen this with teams. This game was one of those games where it was just like, what we just don't want to be here. Like, this is, it's a struggle. Things are not good. And generally speaking, when you get blown out like this by a decent team, the team that you probably should be beating with one of the guys who's supposed to be one of the best players in the league, it doesn't end well for the coach.
No. Yeah, I think he's going to get canned during the year this year because they just, like, it just seems like the word is out on how to beat this team. If you're a good defensive team, like, you're probably in pretty decent shape to beat the Bucks, especially if they don't have Drew Holiday, because they just can't do anything offensively once you like nip their fast break in the bud. They only had seven fast
in the
break.
Bud. Nine, nip them in, yeah, the bud.
Yeah, nip in the bud.
In the coach bud.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Bucks had seven fast break points tonight, and it looked clearly by design for the Raptors. You know, the Raptors only had they actually got eight offensive rebounds, but they were just determined not to let Giannis get out on the break. And then that makes every single one of his 20 field goal attempts difficult, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about this. You texted me about the fast break points, and that's just, I mean, that is a strategy for any team. Like, when I was with Steve Clifford, more so than any coach, like, most coaches harp on certain things. I think a lot of coaches in the NBA have similar principles, but his biggest things were always defensively were, get back in transition. As soon as a shot gets up, right? Don't offensive rebounds don't matter. Go back, if a ball bounced out to you, go get it. But other than that, get back in transition, because scoring in the half court it doesn't matter how bad you are defensively. If your team has time to get set, unless you're the Kings, it's hard to score against half court defense in the NBA. So get back, don't allow transition baskets, defend without fouling. Don't give up, you know, don't give up free throws, obviously. Right. And then points in the paint, like, don't allow points in the paint. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest keys, is not allowing fast break points. And this team, more so in the past than ever in the, than I remember in the past, like, in the past, I always thought, or the last few years, they were so potent offensively, it seemed like, that even when they were losing games, it was like, all right, they could come back at any moment because they shoot the ball and they play defense. They force turnovers, get on the break. But I watch this team now, and if you get up double digits on this team, I'm like, ah, they look over.
Yeah. They've definitely cooled off shooting them. I mean, they started out so hot from three to start the year. We knew that wasn't sustainable, but they're just not shooting the ball very well. They'll get Drew back. They're still going to win a ton of games when Drew gets back. But I just think they're in bad shape come playoff time. I really do.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people probably think that about this team now too. Their next four games are against, hold on, I had it pulled up here. Their next four games are games. I mean, basically, you know, look, they play OKC, Sacramento, Minnesota, New Orleans. So this is it for Bud, right? Like, this is it.
Get three of these, if not.
I mean, yeah. Like, if you lose your next game, like, if they lose one or two more games, he's got to give. The thing is, that's interesting, is like, he's got to be on the hot seat. It's not being reported. Like, I don't see anybody talking about it, which is interesting. But their last game before All-Star break is March 4th, but they still have like seven or eight games before All-Star break. So Budenholzer has an opportunity here to save his job, at least for the time being, with a nice run that they can start here before All-Star break. Because if they can go and reel off four or five against some of these shitty teams, they probably won't fire him at the break. But if he doesn't, he's getting fired at All-Star break. I have told you this. I hate talking about coaches getting fired, but it is what it is. It's just how it works. Like, they don't have the ability to make any major moves. This is their roster this year. So something's going to change if they're getting beat by bad teams. Like OKC back to back against Toronto, they're just losing to bad teams, or bad and subpar teams. It sucks, but it is. It's going to happen. People were calling for him to get fired last year when they lost in the playoffs.
So. Yeah. I wonder. I mean, we know Giannis is incredibly like loyal and that sort of thing. If he's that, could save Budenholzer. If Giannis is unbelievably loyal to him and would create a massive issue.
At this point, I don't think so. I don't think so. I just don't. I mean, I don't think I understand that. And players like a Giannis do hold a lot of control. But on, at some point when you're running an organization, you have to be able to say, like, we're not winning with this coach. We got to make a change. And if it pisses Giannis off, so be it. It should piss him off more that they can't win games. Like, that should be his concern. It shouldn't be like, oh, well, please, I love this coach. Let's keep him and keep losing. His concern should be, all right, I trust the GM. I trust the front office to do what we need to do to win. And if it's getting rid of the coach, whether that's right or wrong, we got to do something. Yeah. But I just think they're past that point. If they keep losing, I think they're past the point where Giannis could protect him. And I honestly don't think Giannis gives a shit about Bud. Like, I'm sure he likes him. And I don't think he's going to die on that hill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Giannis at all, but Marv Albert, it was pretty funny. Giannis was at the free throw line. They've been playing his brother, Thanasis, a little bit, and he made a couple energy plays, and Giannis was at the free throw line, and Marv Albert was like, Thanasis' brother is at the line.
Marv still got it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
That guy, Thanasis, actually had a crazy energy stretch.
Well, yeah, he was
like everywhere. But
well, it was a lot more. It was a lot more obvious because Chris Webber couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah,
the way Chris Webber was talking about the energy, you would think that the Bucks were like making a comeback. Mm-hmm. They were still playing terrible. The guy's just running around like a madman. Respect to him. It's what he's got to do to be in the NBA. Like the way Chris Webber was talking about it, like this is the type of guy that gets your guys going, and this is how you win game. When you're struggling, you come back because this guy makes the rest. No, everyone else still looked like they did not want to play basketball tonight. Mm-hmm. And they still ass beat by the Raptors. it's just like, what are we, Chris Webber, man. Oh man, we do. I mean, we dog that guy a lot. So that'll be it for me on Chris Webber today. The Raptors have been playing better since they went to this small lineup. With Siakam at the five, basically.
Yeah. And Bembry got his first start of the year tonight, which is kind of weird, I guess. They're playing a lot better.
No Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Got the ankle injury.
There's still no a game under 500. This team just doesn't scare me whatsoever, but I do think they're a definite playoff team for me right now. They're gonna get in there. But they don't scare me.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams in the East where we have to start talking about them less about like, do they scare me in the playoffs and more like, can they make the playoffs? Because there's going to be so many teams fighting to be in the back half of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And the way they're playing now, they're getting healthy other than, I mean, now they have the Kyle Lowry injury, but OG's back and Fred VanVleet has been playing good. And Siakam seems to have a resurgence playing as the small ball five right now. The way they're playing, they can win enough games to be a playoff team. I mean, I think we fought that anyways from the beginning.
Yeah, once the season started, they got off to that horrible start, and I wasn't really sure, to be honest. I thought
right, but their bigs were it's because their bigs are so bad.
Yeah,
they're so bad, and Nick Nurse, to his credit, did what he had to do. He's making the adjustments that a guy like Budenholzer seems to really not be able to make throughout his time in Milwaukee. Of being able to figure out like, what do we do here to win games when we're struggling? So yeah,
you know, it's interesting.
I think they'll be a playoff team.
As the standings sit right now, Milwaukee and Toronto would play each other in the first round. And like, that is not a good matchup for Milwaukee, clearly. And I could see it ending that way. I really could.
It's not a good matchup for Milwaukee, I guess, if Budenholzer's coaching, but who knows with how it's going to look.
True.
But also with Drew, I think with Drew, I guess anything's possible at this point with Milwaukee, but with Drew, I kind of think they beat the Raptors. Yeah,
I would think.
But again, the Raptors just did this without Kyle Lowry, so who knows? And then the only other game, the last game from Thursday night. Today's Thursday, right? Yeah, the last game from Thursday night. I kept thinking it was Wednesday today when I was at work earlier. I don't know why. The Heat get a win against the Kings. I would say good win. I guess every win right now for the Heat is a good win. Is you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Mm-hmm. They beat the Kings 118-110. Every win's a good win. But there are still some pretty glaring issues with this team when you watch them play. Like, the Kings had 10 offensive rebounds in the first half. I mean, Marvin Bagley and Nemanja Bjelica looked like all-stars in the first half. Glenn Robinson had 9 rebounds in the first half. It's just the Heat's front court is just – it's not good. Bam's good, but nobody else is. They don't rebound. Their defense is still not very good. And like I mentioned off the top, the Kings have the worst defensive rating in NBA history right now. So – yeah, you should score 118 points. You should probably score 130. But you also shouldn't give up 110. And the Heat in this game had opportunities to pull away multiple times, and the Kings just kept, like, keeping it within striking distance. And I was even thinking to myself, like, God, it's a good thing they're not playing Steph Curry tonight, because it looked just like last night. It looked like Heat get up big, Kings make a little bit of a run. But unlike the Warriors, the Kings are – it's crazy that the Kings have 12 wins watching them play.
Especially with that defense. It's like
they're 12-16 now. That's crazy. In the East, they'd be fighting for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they have the worst defense in NBA history. It's crazy that, like, I don't even know at this point. We always talk about Luke Walton potentially getting fired. Is it more impressive that they have 12 wins with how bad their defense is? Or is it a product? I wonder if it's like, is it more impressive that he's able to get these guys over the hump with such a bad defense? Or is it that he's such a bad defensive coach and they would actually be a good team if they had a coach who would coach them defensively?
Kind of like a weird chicken or the egg type situation. I kind of just feel like their 12 wins are more a product of nobody taking them seriously. And they, you know, it's like a West Coast trip for a lot of East Coast. Like, I just feel like they catch teams on the right night. And I don't think they're going to sustain that. I think this team truly could finish with the worst record in the league if things go poorly.
They do have talented players.
Yeah, they've got talented. But, I mean, when you have the worst defensive rating in NBA history, like, there's just – I don't think winning games is sustainable at all. Right. I think that's pretty obvious. Yeah. I will say it's like a good win for the Heat in the sense that they have absolutely zero margin for error in games like this, you know? Like, they just – when you play teams like the Kings and the Thunder from now on, and the Wizards, like, you just have to win them, and they get this win tonight. And the other thing is Tyler Herro gets 27. So
he's playing better. He's like been up and down, but he's had a few good games on this road trip.
Mm-hmm. I think if they're going to turn this season around, they're going to need him to be a 20 per game guy for them for sure. So maybe if this can get him going confidence wise,
I'm 100% on this. If they do want to turn this season around, they have to make a move. It's they're past the point of no return for me. Like, it's easy to win a game and see guys play well and be like, okay, maybe we can do, but this is one of the worst teams in the NBA. So you should win this game. It doesn't change the fact that it's been an awful year and you have to do something. Something's got to be done. Like, they still need to make a move. Last year at this point, they were playing great basketball and they made a move. Like, it just, the roster. I was also thinking about this with the Heat today too. Last year when this roster got put together, they sort of made this offense that they like instilled, the ball movement, shooting a lot of threes, getting it at, like, spreading it around and all that, which you should do, right? But no one guy type of thing. And part of that was because I don't think, like, they thought they had a team that could be as good as it was. And I think they don't. So I think, like, in that aspect, they probably need to tweak some things too. Like, but I don't think Jimmy Butler wants to be that guy. Doesn't want to be that guy. Your two best players can't shoot. So I don't know. They got to shake something up roster wise, but they won. So they have two more games on this road trip, Lakers and the Thunder. So we'll see what happens. But, oh, you know what? Speaking of the Lakers, I forgot to mention LeBron passed 35,000 points tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Third player ever to do it. Fastest. He's the fastest to get to 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, 25,000, 30,000, and 35,000.
Is that in terms of games or age?
I think it's games.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised Durant didn't beat him on any of those, but
well, KD had injuries.
I guess that's the other thing is LeBron just never.
Well, I guess if it's games, then it doesn't matter. It might be age.
Well, age-wise, yeah, LeBron's always a year ahead because he didn't.
Yeah, it must be. Maybe it is age, I guess.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
It might be age because if KD had injuries, then he didn't play, so games wouldn't be a thing.
But the age thing also gives LeBron the advantage because he didn't have to go do a year of college.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Still incredible. Yeah.
I always just see those. Like every time he passes a threshold, they're like, reminder, LeBron.
Yeah.
This, and this. Yeah, he's the best ever. Don't at me because I'm a Twitter guy now.
Well, you're cash, so that's fine.
I'm casual. Okay, so there's only three games tonight, and we still talked for 30 minutes about them. Look at us. A real hardcore NBA pod, calling me a casual. I just talked for 30 minutes about 3 years.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
The All-Star starters came out today. Some real controversy out there.
I think you're mispronouncing that, but that's fine.
No, dude, you're mispronouncing it. So LeBron and KD led the voting, so they are the captains for the All-Star draft, and then the other starters are for the West, for the starter pool, because they still have to draft. For the front court, it's Jokic and Kawhi Leonard, and the back court is Steph and Luka. And then for KD, for the East starter pool is Giannis and Embiid, and then Brad Beal and Kyrie Irving. I'm happy Brad Beal makes it. I think deserves it. I think he deserves it, even though they suck. A lot of people not happy that Luka made it over Dame.
Yes, that was what I was going to bring up. I didn't even know that. I wasn't on Twitter today.
Well, because you know how the voting works now, right? It's 50% fan voting, 25% media, 25% players. And the players and the media voted for Dame. Mm-hmm. And the fans voted for Luka, and I guess somehow it weighed out to Luka still getting it.
I just think, I mean, Luka is like as big of a star as there is right now, and especially overseas too. Like, I'm sure those votes were like astronomical. But I think
that I was actually going to say it's a test. I saw that. I don't know what the final numbers were, but I looked at last week's numbers that came out, like the voting numbers and the fan vote. Dame was only like 300,000 votes behind Luka, which I was going to say is sort of a testament to how good Dame is playing, that you would think with Luka having support as like an, you know, overseas and having an entire continent probably voting for him potentially, and Dame playing in Portland and not being on national TV all the time, like you would think Luka would be a lot higher. So I think it is a testament to how good he is playing that he was even that close.
Yeah. Well, he's just, I mean, he's having the better season. And like, I think, you know, being an all-star is very stat driven and individual driven, but when there's guys this tight in terms of numbers, like you got to look at the Blazers are overachieving with two of their best players injured and Dallas is underachieving. Yeah. So I do think Lillard, I think it's a snub. I do. It's not like egregious, but
I mean, it is, but he'll be in the game. So
yeah.
Also a lot of people talking about how the Jazz really, I mean, what are you going to do? But only one guy, even in the, like near the top of the voting, Donovan Mitchell, and they're the best team in the NBA right now, like record wise. But that's not, I don't think that's as even remotely as egregious.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine got a lot of votes. That's cool. I mean, I think that means he'll definitely be in. I don't see Julius Randle anywhere. So that we'll see what happens there. Jimmy Butler doesn't deserve to be in the All-Star game.
Yeah. I like that there's a blend of, you know, that the fans are a part of it, but I think they need to maybe go with like 30, like one third for the fans. Cause Jimmy Butler's not having an All-Star year. He just isn't.
Well, I think the problem is that there's only 30 coaches, but I wouldn't mind seeing like 25% fans, 25% media, 25% coaches, 25% players.
I'd be all for that. Yeah.
Cause coaches know.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know. I mean, like, I think most coaches would be honest. Like, I don't think Eric Spoelstra would vote for Jimmy if he's not an actual all-star, but maybe he would. I don't know.
If it was anonymous, definitely.
I don't know.
The only, if it wasn't anonymous somehow, he'd probably vote for him.
Yeah. Actually, I guess maybe, I don't know. If I was a coach, I'd probably vote for my guy.
Yeah.
Looks good for the team.
But still, that's only one guy that would be like the other 30 or the other 29 or whatever are going to do it.
The rest of this, I think it's all right. I mean, look, obviously Embiid deserves to be in there over Giannis, but it's not surprising that Giannis gets the vote.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just from because of the fan vote.
Well, wait, Embiid's starting. Right?
Is he in the pool? Oh, yeah, because they have three front court.
Yeah, yeah. Embiid's a starter. That would have been a big snub. I would have had a huge issue with that.
But he was third in the voting.
Mm-hmm.
So also, again, just another testament to KD, how good he's playing, that he beat Giannis in the vote.
Yeah.
That's also probably a product of the media vote. I haven't seen the breakdown, but I would imagine that the media all voted for Embiid over Giannis.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I think so. He's like the darling right now.
Well, and everyone's down on Giannis. They're playing bad. I think they're all starting to realize it was a mistake to give him back-to-back MVP. Like all that stuff is going to start to add up too. Mm-hmm. They're turning on him.
Yeah.
As predicted, but hey, who am I? I'm just a casual.
Yeah.
Man. Nets going to have three all-stars. You look at the East team and you look at the West team potentially, and it looks pretty even. But the West is so much better right now than the East. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm trying to that Western All-Star lineup is absolutely disgusting. I think it has I don't know. Luka and Steph. I guess it's just because I'm such a Kyrie hater.
Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Kyrie's having the best year of his career, in my opinion. So
yeah.
I don't know. One thing that happened yesterday that I didn't see the quote yesterday. I saw the game. Detroit played Chicago. We didn't even talk about the game much because it's Detroit and Chicago. We mostly focused on Jeremy Grant. I guess there was like a little spat in the game between Zach LaVine and Josh Jackson, who notably I think has like anger issues. Like I think in college he got in trouble a couple times.
Yeah.
He was asked about it after the game, and Zach LaVine said, "I'm only afraid of two people, God and my dad. I'm like, powerful. I'm a little concerned for Zach LaVine. Why is he scared of it? Why is he scared of his dad? Zach LaVine's a pretty big dude. I feel like, I don't know how old Zach LaVine's dad is, but I got to imagine at this, like, yeah, when you're a kid, you can be scared of your dad. Zach, come on, man. Your dad? Yeah, I feel like you're a pretty big guy. Zach LaVine's a pretty big guy. Like, I'd be more scared of Josh Jackson.
Maybe his dad was such an elite disciplinarian growing up that he can't shake it. He's just like, if I step out of line, I'm going to get,
like, what are you talking? Zach LaVine, what do you fear about your dad? Like, what's
it's probably an aura. It's probably not even physical. It's not scared. Like, he's, I'm a little scared of my dad, tiny bit, but there's people.
My dad listens to the show. And yeah, I mean, like, there was a point in my life where I was definitely scared. Like, I mean, at this point though, and I'm not a big guy, but I guess, what's he scared of? Is he scared his dad's going to beat him up? I'm not that scared that my dad's going to beat me up. Not at this point in our lives. I also wouldn't fight my dad. Like, so what are we talking about here?
Maybe it's more.
I wouldn't fight God either.
I was going to say, I'm much more scared of my dad than God, for sure.
Well, I just want to point out for the people who do believe in God, and maybe this might be a little disrespectful that Zach LaVine called him a person.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't even say him.
Yeah, no, that's
that Zach LaVine called good. God a person. Because if you believe in God, I would imagine you don't think God is a person.
Maybe it's, I don't know what pronoun God uses, but maybe
there is no God.
Yeah.
God is not
right to call him.
God.
It's not right to call him a person. I don't think.
Stop saying him.
It's not, right. What do I say? It? I don't know.
God. It's not right to call God a person.
Okay.
If you believe in God.
Right.
It's up to you. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. But I am with you. I'm much more, if I'm going to be scared of anybody, it's probably my dad over God.
Well, it's definitely my dad over God.
Well, yeah, but it's definitely my dad. You know what? I'm also more scared of Zach LaVine's dad than God.
Me too.
I'm also more scared of Josh Jackson than God. And I'm more scared of Zach LaVine than God. You want
God's
me to keep
dead last for me?
You want me to keep this? This may turn off some of the listeners, but I could name a lot of people that I'm more scared of than God.
Yeah. Well, what are we? We're like 45 minutes in. Do we think we still have anybody? What do you got this far?
That's true.
How many listeners are we going to lose right now? No, I am accepting of all beliefs.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care if you fear God. If the main person, if the main entity that you fear is God, good for you.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Probably has a lot to do with why Zach LaVine is where he is in his life. Is that sort of discipline? Good.
And genetics help.
Incredible skill as well.
Yeah. Work ethic. You know, there's a lot of things, which that's from his dad. That's not from, I'm not even going to go down that path. I was going to say, if he's scared of two people, there's definitely one or two things. Definitely one of those we know for a fact is a reason that partially why he is where he is. Mm-hmm. And the other one, debatable.
It's a gray area. Yeah.
The other one's a gray area, but one of them for sure we know had a lot to do. You know, they had to do some humping at one point in his life. Like, we know his dad's not a virgin because Zach LaVine's here. He had to do that for Zach LaVine to be here. You know what I mean?
Never thought about it like that. Really is your only proof.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right. Anyways. I think I said, there was one thing on a serious note. On TNT, before the games, they've been doing this show this year called The Arena. And it's like a discussion between, they have like a host, and then they bring on like a white person and a black person, and they discuss like race relations in the United States. I think the first episode they did, it was like a white cop and a black cop. And they just talk about like, how do we get here? How do we fix things? That type of thing. It's a good show. It's interesting and it's very informative. Today's episode was Kyle Korver and Killer Mike. I haven't watched the whole thing. I've just watched some of the videos that have been tweeted, but I'm going to go back and watch the whole thing. Killer Mike, to me, one of the most important artists of any kind of this entire generation. And I tweeted about this too. It's amazing. It's awesome that he is getting a platform to speak about the things that he's been rapping about and talking about for like a decade. It's funny because today when I was at work, I listened to his album. He has his last solo album is called Rap Music. Came out in 2012. And it has songs on it that are like the most informative song, like shit that there's songs on there you can listen to and you'd be like, they never taught us this in school, but it's like it's fact. And that's 10 years ago.
I'm going to check that out. I've really only listened to like Run the Jewels. So like,
because he didn't become popular until Run the Jewels. He didn't. I mean, unless you were like a big Southern Atlanta rap fan, or if you listened to, or like he was on the Madden soundtrack at one point, and one of his songs became big, but his solo albums never became big. But his last album it's called Rap, like R-A-P with periods between like them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
There's a song on there called Reagan. Okay. It is probably one of the most underrated songs of all time. I learned more about American politics in those 4 minutes. And just the what it happened, what is how we even back, but how we got to where we are now. In those 4 minutes, then I shit you not, than the Broward County school system ever taught me. It's pretty remarkable. So it's
did you go to public school, or did your dad who's listening? Okay, I didn't know if he was going to be a little annoyed at one of his investments. I
my dad was my dad worked in public schools for like 20, gotcha. 30 years, something like that. He was a teacher and a principal and an administrator and all that shit. But I mean,
my parents shelled out some money for private school, didn't learn shit.
Look, man, look, at this point, anybody who thinks that, I mean, I'm sure there's some places where public school is okay, but anybody who thinks that the public schools in this country are doing a good job, they're just not, their eyes are not really open.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in some places they are. But I would say this. And since my dad listens, he'll appreciate this. I definitely succeeded much more in my life because of the things that my parents taught me than the shit that I learned going to Cooper City High School.
Yeah. It goes back to our Kobe episode. Anybody still with us, go listen to our Kobe episode. We wrapped that really strong about the parenting aspects of.
Yeah. Go watch Mike, Killer Mike. I keep almost calling him Michael Render because that's his real name. Mm-hmm. Like, go watch Mike Render. I was gonna be like, go watch Mike Render. And then people are gonna be like, I don't know what that
is. The frig is Mike Render.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Because he has it. Well, I never learned that until there's a one of the songs on his album. He's talking about on that song Reagan. He's talking about how the government hates him for being a rap, like how they're like watching him. And one of the lines towards the end is, who the fuck is this staring in my window doing mass surveillance on Mr. Michael Render or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's his name. Cool. Good to know.
Good to know.
Thanks, Mike. So go watch that show. I think it's good to watch it no matter what. He's just putting stuff out there. Doesn't matter what race you are. The information he puts out there is, he has like a PhD. He's been, he's worked in like city planning and like local governments his whole life. He just happens to be also one of the most talented rappers that there is.
Yeah.
So wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. I'm going
to
watch it.
And I thought it was a good thing to give you guys, throw out there for your guys. If you're bored this weekend, you want to learn a little bit, go watch it. What else, Alex? We got anything else?
I don't think so. It's weird with a short slate. Let's check out the slate tomorrow. Oh, well, we don't have a show until Sunday night, Monday morning. So we're going to miss you guys.
I guess Vogel says that Anthony Davis was reevaluated tonight and is out 4 weeks. Which originally was going to be, he was originally going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. It says, was reevaluated tonight to confirm calf strain, could be without the big man for a month. Expected to be out 4 weeks.
Interesting. Okay.
Which is, I told you when I saw what the injury was, the calf, I expected like, okay, this is going to be one of those things where they say 2 to 3 weeks, then it's going to be 4 weeks, then it's going to be 6 weeks. Like it's going to,
And I in baseball, I'm a baseball fan, and when you hear somebody has tendonitis, so I know that, I mean, that's with the elbow, but I know they're similar.
But he doesn't have tendonitis. He has tendinosis.
I thought you said it, but it was like tendonitis of the Achilles. No? Did I make that up?
Tendinosis.
Yeah, but is it similar at all to tendonitis?
I think so. I think it's just okay. I think it's just a worse version of
when tendonitis. You have that, it's just rest. That's what you need. So I think he's gonna be out a while, but the most important thing is just get him back 100% for the playoffs if possible.
Yeah, if possible. All right. Well, everyone have a good weekend. Enjoy yourselves, enjoy the games, and we will see you on Monday morning. Later. Okay.